SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Tuesday, race fans. Sirius 219 XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online, and at our website too, SteveBick.com. And I guess the first story that we should probably address. Plenty of things yet from the weekend, including some more recapping, and that will feature a visit from Kelly Rubley in hour two. Looking forward to that. I've never had Kelly on, and having a lot of success, and had a lot of success right away. So looking forward to that visit. We'll talk about the Native Dancer win, General Downs, but it's been a lot of other success for Rubley. Got some of the other stakes action from Laurel to go through and more. But the first story, and we'll cover it, I think, in more depth. In fact, I think we'll get a fairly comprehensive visit in on the topic. Alex Waldrop, anticipate Alex joining us at 10 o'clock this morning. What do you want to call it? A backtrack? I think that's a fair suggestion from the Department of Justice yesterday that has got a lot of people diving to their legal experts. Plenty of legal experts themselves are trying to figure out exactly what yesterday's ruling, I guess you could call it a ruling, what it would mean, and what it feels like is a rollback of the interpretation from 2011 that the Department of Justice had offered, which paved the way for online gambling. And these are all interpretations and reinterpretations and adjustments from a series of the efforts that go back to the Wire Act in 1961, plus the 2005, 2006 Unlawful Internet Gambling Enforcement Act, which shut down, the poker online activity and so forth. All of this is a lot of maneuvering, and I mean, you don't have to read between the lines to see that Sheldon Adelson is responsible for what transpired here. But the immediate industry, racing industry and advanced deposit wagering industry interpretation is what we're going to worry about. I can't be worried about online lottery ticket sales, this does seem to potentially limit or end. Have talked to two or three different legal advisor types this morning, and everybody, I think, has got their own little interpretation. One of the most important parts of this that will be uncertain, that will remain uncertain, I mean, there's going to be some legal challenges from the people that, and the states, most notably the states, that have already invested in the mechanics of you know, setting up online businesses, online gambling overwraps, or you know, the structure to allow for online gambling. But the government's interest in prosecuting is really what means the most, because whatever they do with these rulings, you know, is only a net. I guess the net has to be pulled taut to catch something. And so it depends on what they're interested in. And certainly the immediate, and I'll leave this to Alex. I won't try to interpret any of this, because I think from what I can read this morning, there's legal experts that aren't sure what it means. But the most immediate concern of this rollback to basically the way things were interpreted before the 2011, there was in 2011 there was kind of a lowering of the barricades. This is sort of a return to that pre 2011 ruling interpretation. And the biggest issue that could impact immediately racing seems to be the credit card companies' willingness to allow for deposits. And we've discussed this with Keith Shamblin and with Alex Waldrop over the last several years. And since the tax withholding change and the accomplishment involved there, NTRA had, you know, been working on that front with the credit card companies to get them to be more willing. There were several of the largest issuers of credit cards that were blocking players' abilities to deposit in their ADW accounts using their card. And you know, with each card issuer dropping those restrictions, there were real benefits and real tangible activity that the industry was benefiting from, and people are saying, "Oh, well, that, you know, I don't know, it's dangerous, and you know, you could get into financial." That the reason players are interested in using their ADW, using their credit card for the ADW account, is because depending on what your credit card company does with you, you may be getting rebates from that. So, 2%, 3%, whatever your arrangement is on those money back cards. So that's the motivation for players to use their credit cards for their deposits, because they're going to get back enough to make a difference. So that's why it was beneficial to the industry for the credit card companies to allow their users to make deposits in their ADW accounts. That would appear to be the first and really the only major concern about what this ruling could mean in terms of negative impact. So I'll let Alex walk us through what he thinks and what the team at the Alpine Group, the industry lobbying group, including my friend Greg Means, who I've known since, I don't know, 1980, it must be about 86, 85, we were in a baseball league together. a fantasy baseball league, and he was at the time he was an aide to the congresswoman that from Washington, from state of Washington, that went on to be the senator. What's oh my God, I'm going to forget her name. Greg does with his partner. They're the Alpine Group, and they were a big part of the withholding change and the shifting of tack to get the beneficial changes from Treasury and the IRS. So we'll find out. And I want Alex, and it may be a little dry, but I think it'll be a worthwhile exercise for Alex to walk us through the timetable of how all these elements fit, you know, starting with the Wire Act and then the Interstate Horse Racing Act. Then came the Unlawful Internet Gambling Enforcement Act. And then these subsequent rulings, PASPA, the change to PASPA. The strange part about Adelson's involvement in this, the American Gaming Association is against it, is against this change. So it's a weird, there's a lot of cross purposes, it seems. And frankly, the states will end up challenging this in court, I would guess. I don't see how you stop the march of progress on this front. I also read some suggestions that this could herald a more likely federal mandate or control or set of rules to govern the sports gambling. But we'll see what Dennis Drazen has to say too. I'm sure Dennis will have a statement, and I reached out to Dennis to see if he's got some thoughts. It seems like everybody right now is just reacquainting themselves with portions of the Wire Act and where this ruling, what it, where within the Wire Act mechanics this ruling starts and stops, I guess. So there'll be some legalese brought to you by Alex Waldrop Esquire today. Jeremy Plonk, little countdown to the crown action. We'll see what, I'm sure that at this point, let's see, he's had 3 days. He may be halfway through that field in Le Compte. We'll talk to Jeremy. I expect to have a visit today with John Scherf, too. Looking forward to that. I want to got a sad note and a. I don't know if you had seen this, but the accident on last Monday at Fairgrounds, and I got to reach out to Neil Howard, exercise rider Roddy McKenzie, badly injured. Head-on collision. Nothing scarier or worse. This happened at Fairgrounds, and wanted to get to that as well and see what if anything everybody can do to help. Let's take a break here. Start to get to the other weekend results when we come back at the races.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Yeah, Express Bet. DRS, give me 12 grand to win on the 9 at Gulfstream. Yeah, yeah, that's what I said. 12 grand. 12,000 smackaroos. 12,000.
Mikey, hang up the phone. You crazy? You can't bet that much.
Quiet, Joey. I'm practicing.
Practicing? Practicing for what? Divorce?
No, I'm practicing my Pegasus Big Bet with my friends at ExpressBet.
Ooh, the contest is back?
And better than ever. All you gotta do is register for free at ExpressBet.com. Then you'll earn entries for every bet you make until January 14th. The more you play, the more chances you have to win.
And you win a $12,000 bet on the Pegasus?
And a VIP trip to Gulfstream with airfare, hotel, tickets, it's all included. Now, if you'll excuse me, I got some more practicing to do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, ExpressBet, you still there? Good. Like I was saying,
ExpressBet is the official online wagering partner of the Pegasus World Cup. Visit ExpressBet.com to bet today. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal, void, or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest-growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Dick on Sirius XM Radio.
When I touch my hand and talk sweet talk, I got a knocking in my knees and a wobble in my walk. I'm trembling and I'm shaking. And when you take me in your arms to talk romance, my heart stops doing the St. Vitus dance and I'm panting. And I'm shaking.
We're back at the races.
Early
in the morning. 9:15 here in the east. We'll call it 9:18. And little Willie John. The tragic little Willie John. And a couple of notes about Saturday that we didn't get to yesterday, and that included, I can reiterate from Saturday, what a nice job Michelle Nevin's done with Honor Up. I'll repeat that again. She got a great ride, too, from Manny Franco. While Gold for the King was all bottled up, Manny was just well-positioned throughout, and you could see when they were going into the turn, he was just poised. And for the third win in the last four starts. So Saratoga 7 partners. They really with this honor and serve Colt, and I'm pretty sure he got a career best 97 buyer out of this, and he's just been slowly as the fall was unfolding, and just was getting incrementally better. And it seemed like he was always, you know, thought of the New York bred enough that Bill Mott, you know, tried him in the Lexington. He was 10-1 that day. Of course, my boy Jack, that was my boy Jack's prep for the Derby. Can't say heroics. We'll call it histrionics, I guess. I don't know. Then on Sunday, that blind Willie McTell comes back, and Jerry Zarrow bred this posse gelding. And, you know, it was kind of a, it was one of, you know, it was a star-crossed weekend. Zero, one of the partners in the Tom Morley horse that was stricken on Saturday, as it happens. But you know, that's, this is, you know, a lot of the, you know, the lowest lows and the highest highs on Sunday, comes back and follows up that nice maiden win, follows it up with a stake win in the Rego Park. And what was interesting about this, of course, is that he had a stumbling beginning. And, you know, Dylan Davis held it together and gathered him, and off he went. So the Stallion Series maiden win, and now follows it up with a Rego Park. And, it, you know, Fig was modest, but this is a nice horse. So I imagine that Linda Rice and Jerry Zero will stay along the state-bred lines for now. It looks like a nice sprinter. And there was also, I should mention, I got to get a hold of Maya Engelhardt. And actually, you know, maybe we'll get, maybe I've actually got room today. Maybe we'll get to Jeremiah. Another Hertrick and Fielding product. Midnight Curfew. If you didn't see this on Sunday, this was a nice performance. Andy's traveling today, actually, and so he can't join us. So he will be on tomorrow. Actually, there's two movements for tomorrow. Steve Haskin is moving up from Thursday, and Andy's moving back from today. So Haskin and Serling on a Wednesday, and also, I'll mention Alan Foreman tomorrow. Well, you can use your imagination. There's something exciting to discuss with Alan. So we'll have a busy Wednesday, plus Sid Fernando. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hill and Dale. And speaking of Hill and Dale, Midnight Curfew, the maiden winner, took a third start, but this is a horse that looks like he is going to be something to watch. And second try at a mile, he debuted, actually. Maya went to Kentucky with him during the Derby run-up and the Breeders' Cup run-up. And he was in that race that Jack Van Berg won. Yeah. You know, and he ran okay. He ran kind of an even race, basically split the field. And then he sharpened up a little bit. He showed speed. And one of my favorite angles, when you see a horse, you know, that hadn't, you know, necessarily shown speed and, you know, was making its way in the maiden ranks, all of a sudden you'll see sometimes, you know, second start, third start, you'll see a horse show speed. And they might not win, but that's always a good sign. Almost always. And that's exactly what happened on December 1st when Midnight Curfew came back and ran again. This is a horse bred by Fred Hertrick and John Fielding, a Midnight Loot. And you know, just the other day, we were extolling the virtues. Midnight Curfew looked terrific. 80-something buyer in here in his maiden win came in the 6th. And Mike Ryan, actually, Mike Ryan's name turned up just looking down, and Ryan had another. I think he was involved in a, I think he's a partner in it. He was a stake winner over the weekend. He might have been. Got to look at that home run maker. I bet you he's involved there. I saw Mike Ryan's name a couple of times this weekend. This is an interesting horse, Midnight Curfew. And when we talk to Maya, we'll find out what might be next. Because he feels like he's going somewhere. I mentioned that we're going to visit with Kelly Rubling, so we'll talk about the Laurel action. Before we do that, stay at Aqueduct for a second. I suppose I could have saved this for Andy. But on Friday, you'll recall, you know, after the Thursday, the late portion of that Thursday card was canceled, the high winds, they came back on Friday. They had to do the pick 6 carryover and the pick 5 carryover. And for those that I didn't have time to, because, you know, Thursday felt like it was going to be the, you know, the place to play, and then you had to reboot. Well, the action on Friday was pretty much straightforward until the feature, and Charlie McCoy, Michelle Nevin, and Little Red Feather and partners. That was the best price, a $13 horse. Otherwise, it was very much dominated by logicals and the favorites. And as a result, he ended up with the sequence, the pick five, you know, with a, I think another 100,000 in the pool, paid $300 basically for 50 cents. And the pick six, 1100. So, and that was another, let's see, there was another, there was 25, so there was another 150,000 in there. So for those that rebooted and went after, the pick five and the pick six carryover, Kieran McLaughlin for Carl Pollard. And they had that maiden that won off by itself. And, in fact, you should take a peek by the name of Flash. And that was a pretty nice effort. 81 buyer for that. And there's Hillendale again. This was a violence filly. And she was the only horse that had made a previous start. She wins at 3-5. Daria's Angel, Rob Attriss, and we had mentioned that Attriss was, you know, who had been the assistant for Diodoro, out on his own, and this was a crazy race with Daria's Angel and Stay Fond, and they were a 16th of a mile ahead of the rest of the field, and as it happens, Daria's Angel was 3-1, and Stay Fond was 4-5, so. That didn't hurt. You had a 4-5 shot get beat in the fifth race, so that might have knocked a couple of people out. And you had a 5-2 winner, countable. Here's Linda Rice with Breeze Easy, Bavaro from Maya that he now owns, that was handed over to him by Bill Parcells, and he won it 2-5. Then there was that Charlie McCoy, and then 3-2 on Miss Big Times. Also, Jeremiah. So he's been winning races by the bucketful. The rest of that Laurel action, I want to slip in, and we'll talk to Kelly Rubley about her win. But Javier Contreras, and here's Breeze Easy. And their late night powwow. We had a really fun conversation with Contreras back when this filly won the Charlestown Oaks, you'll recall, last year. And it really a nice story, but she is just streaking. This is her 10th win in 11 career starts. The only beat came in the It's Been Too Long. This is a West Virginia bred. The Fibersond, and in fact, you'll recall that after that Charlestown Oaks win, we discussed Fibersond as a, you know, as a sire, and he's the son of Unbridled Song. It's funny, and this came up the other Unbridled Song son, right? That yesterday was going commando, right, with the Manitoba bred, so. For all the, you know, for all the critique of Unbridled Song, late night powwow, piling up the wins and being well spotted by Contreras, and she was the easiest kind of winner in that spot. We'll save the Kelly Rubley Native Dancer win. That was the What a Summer, by the way. And then you also had Maya with Jeff Drown's Home Run Maker, and this is an interesting horse that is getting steadily better. Now 4 years old. He's out of the Empire Maker Mare, Home Run. Peter Blum bred this colt. He was a Timonium 2-year-old in training sale purchase, $205,000. And first time in a stake. Took him a while to break his maiden. But he's steadily improved. And clearly meant to sprint. And this was a bit of a breakthrough. He had paired up 80 Byers in his last two. Engelhart has got that string down at Laurel, and it's paid dividends. This is one of the horses, in fact. And, you know, it's funny. I told you yesterday, we talked to Scott Silver because we wanted to make sure Trevor McCarthy was okay. And while we were talking, Jorge Vargas came up. He also handles Vargas. And we talked about Home Run Maker. This seems like this is a horse, again, that's going somewhere. And then finally, boy, it's Hill and Dale morning, because the Curlin Filly, bred by Lantern Hill, Timeless Curls, she won really well under Wes Hamilton for Dale Capuano. This came in the Nellie Morse. Sukhdeen Pazaram owns, and Timeless Curls, a new stake winner for Curlin. And this was her stakes debut. She's won 5 of 9. Took her, you know, it's funny. You want to talk about patience and just bringing a horse along. And nobody's ever gotten on her back, at least in the afternoons, other than Wesley Hamilton, who is very, I don't know if I can say likely, but feels like he, you know, he's probably the favorite, right? Probably the favorite for him and Edgar Morales and Ray Lou Gutierrez for the Apprentice Eclipse. Hamilton has ridden this filly every single start. And, you know, of course, the disappointment here was, face it, the Godolphin filly, who, you know, really, we talked about this, right? This was the one that you could tell that they were trying to get a stake win for her. And she wasn't all, you know, she went off at even money. She was not, even on paper, she wasn't appreciably better than this group, including Timeless Curls. And you know what? The public, Timeless Curls was 3-2. It's not like, you know, it's not like Face It was, you know, completely co-opted by the players. But this filly looks like she's got more upside. Gets into the 80s on the performance side on the figure. So that was the nice card. There's been a, you know, steady parade of these, and of course Barbara Fitchie, the Barbara Fitchie card in a few weeks as well coming up. So that was Laurel. We got Gulfstream as well yet to digest and more, and we'll continue to slip some of the other results and some of the, particularly the maiden winners. And later today, you know, I wrote down, it's so funny when you go through, you know, you just kind of go through cards and you see what's up. There happens to be, as we'll go to the break here, there's two maiden races today that feature some nice siblings. And maybe we'll do a little lightning round action and reach out. And at Sunland Park today, 1:51 Mountain Time, the fourth race, Todd Fincher sends out a pair, one for Ray Willis, $175,000 Tisnow, who has hit the board twice. Named Tizezzi, 5-2 second choice, and it happens that Tizezzi, Tisnow out of a unbridled mare, and there's a handful of fairly nice siblings. Remember Fast Alex? Fast Alex is a half brother, was a stake horse. Unbridled Vicar, holy cow, from a handful of years ago, was, you know, just a nice, wasn't a stake winner, and also Four Dubai sibling. So bred to be okay, Tizzezzi. And then Fincher also is sending out a third-time starter, Sheriff Brown. It's funny, he gelded both of these horses. Tizzezzi and Sheriff Brown have both are new geldings. And Sheriff Brown happens to be a half to Runaway Ghost. So Todd Fincher. And then I'll tell you about the John Sheriff's horses when we come back.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Yeah, ExpressBet. Give me 12 grand to win on the 9 at Gulfstream. Yeah, yeah, that's what I said. 12 grand. 12,000 smackaroos. 12,000...
Mikey, hang up the phone. You crazy? You can't bet that much.
Quiet, Joey. I'm practicing.
Practicing? Practicing for what? Divorce?
No, I'm practicing my Pegasus Big Bet with my friends at ExpressBet.
Ooh, the contest is back?
And better than ever. All you gotta do is register for free at ExpressBet.com. Then you'll earn entries for every bet you make until January 14th. The more you play, the more chances you have to win.
And you win a $12,000 bet on the Pegasus?
And a VIP trip to Gulfstream with airfare, hotel, tickets, it's all included. Now, if you'll excuse me, I got some more practicing to do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, ExpressBet, you still there? Good. Like I was saying,
ExpressBet is the official online wagering partner of the Pegasus World Cup. Visit ExpressBet.com to bet today. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal, void, or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest-growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Without a warning, you broke my heart. You took it, darling, and you tore it apart. You left me sitting in the dark crying. You said your love for me was dying. I'm begging you, baby, baby, please. I'm begging you, baby. Baby, please, turn on the light, let it shine on me. Turn on your love light, let it shine on me. Let it shine, 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 let it shine.
We're back at the races. You just heard the Pennsylvania ad, and I mentioned these two maiden races that caught my eye today, and the other one happens to be a state-bred, Pennsylvania-bred maiden special going 7/8 at Parks, the third race. And this goes at 1:19 Eastern, the third race. And John Service is sending out a pair in here, and they're both siblings of some nice horses. And for Mrs. Chapman, always rooting for Pat Chapman, and she's got the Smarty Jones Moamore, the latest three-year-old, and this is a full brother to Res Judicata, who, of course, piled up some nice stakes numbers. 8-5 favorite, G-Daddy, But there's a first-time starter as well that Service sends out, and this is for, you know, talk about women owning and breeding. Shirley Lajeski, she's got a gemologist gelding in here that debuts, and you remember the sibling, You're Flaming Me, who was a stake horse and fast. This is a half to You're Flaming Me, Stuck on Gold. So John Service with a pair in here that that look prominent. Although I will say this, flat out flashy for Bobby Hawthorne on the rail. Flat out gelding, who showed speed for the first time, stretching out in his most recent start, December 9th. 6-1. The Service is going to be he's got the two favorites. But that flat-out flashy has got to work out a trip from the rail. Never that easy, 7/8. But anyway, just funny. You thumb through PPs. Every day I try to see what's going on. If there's anything notable, during the week particularly. So Todd Fincher, very prominent in Sunland today in the fourth, and John Service. So there you go. All right. I wanted to get those two in. And since we're trying to reach John Service, but I'll mention that tomorrow you've got a mix sale, the California Thoroughbred Breeders Association. And, of course, with the Barretts wrapping up their business, kind of the reworking of the West Coast sales action, but at the Pavilion at Fairplex tomorrow. 154 horses cataloged, and it's got a little bit of everything. All right, so keep an eye on that. The West Coast breeders and Cal breds being offered up tomorrow. We'll watch for that. And, I didn't finish I suppose we'll do it tomorrow with Sid. We'll wrap up the numbers. The Keeneland sale was very good. The January sale. So, the the final numbers from Keeneland. Very strong. All right. And we will, I guess we're having trouble with John. All right. No problem. We'll figure that out and come back to, since we're doing that, we'll talk about, bring up, as I brought up, John Sheriffs and the California results. Let's do that. And we didn't get a chance yesterday with John either, John White, to really dig through. But one of the things that came as a little bit of surprise, and I want to talk to John Sheriffs about, that was the Why God runner, that Spring Lily, winning, beating Selcourt. And they basically were vying, and Spring Lily got the upper hand and rebuffed and pulled away. Might have been a couple of interesting maiden winners from the weekend. And speaking of Calbred, since that came up, that Lieutenant Dan in the nightcap on Sunday at Santa Anita. I was kind of going through the second tier of results. That was a big effort, and one off by widening lengths. This is a Grazen gelding, Nick Alexander, who just churns them out, and in fact beat his own Satchel Paige in here. But Lieutenant Dan making a second start, and he kind of surprised a little bit in here. 9-2, paid 11-20. Came away with an 83 buyer. So this is a calbred with a little, you know, a little something extra out of the Indian Charlie mare, excusable. So Nick Alexander, homebred. So if you keep an eye, we'll see what Steve Miotti wants to do. and of course, the other Nick Alexander homebred, the Satchel Paige, that Phil D'Amato sent out, ended up third in here, but Lieutenant Dan, Nick Alexander, it's fun. He's got a lot of baseball names, a lot of baseball star names, but reaching into Forrest Gump for Lieutenant Dan. Got a nice couple of responses to Don Schnell's visit yesterday. That was great, and you know, Bill Finley wrote a wonderful piece about Escape Clause and Don Schnell at TDN. If you didn't see it, it must have been Sunday. And of course, the other stake from Saturday ended up off the turf, unfortunately, the Las Cienegas, and they tried, despite the rain, they tried to keep this on the grass down the hill, but, you know, usually that's an automatic, as Hammer has said forever, and Tom Quigley actually brought it up too on Friday. When the rain comes, typically the races come right off the hill, and they tried to keep the La Cienegas on, but it wasn't to be, and that opened the door somewhat, I suppose. Belvoir Bay, the very nice Belvoir Bay, is the off-the-turf winner here, and, you know, won well, just kind of controlled. And only three horses stayed in here. That Lady Sue B, that John Sadler, you know, it's kind of a funny scenario because Selcourt was basically entered with the thinking that if it came off, she would run here. And then when they tried to keep it on, she scratched in favor of the Kalukan Queen, and then gets beaten the Kalukan Queen. And meanwhile, Lady Subi, she goes ahead and runs. And so this plan did not exactly, come together the way I think John Sadler was hoping. And the Aronis team, of course, Selcourt has got a different ownership set, but I think they would have preferred the other option here, letting Selcourt run off the turf and Lady Sue B running separately at different spots. Anyway, that's and of course the race for now, the race loses its grading. Although Belvoir Bay, she's now 6 years old. I mean, she's highly accomplished, and she'll. This really does. I think this is her first. She had one other dirt win, but this is a nice. This is a nice little addition for Belvoir Bay. A couple of other performances that we had anticipated and we had discussed. How about the maiden race? The maiden race from those fillies, and there were a couple of scratches, including Hollywood Girl, who I'm anxious to talk to John about, Sheriffs, and Nomazar was the filly. And this is a Tapazar from McShane Racing, bred by Richard Pearson. Tapazar out of a Milwaukee brew mare. Doug O'Neill sent her out. This was her fourth career start. First-time starter, full eclipse was second in here, and they were pretty well separated from the rest of that field. And oh, you know who won? I'll slip this in too. You know who won on the weekend on Sunday? Big score. Speaking of Hollywood story, George Kerkorian. Big score, breaking a an extended winless scheme. The 5 year old. Happy to see. Happy for a big score. I've been was a fan and basically gets a little class release here, relief in a allowance race. So big score wins. And there was one more. Oh, from Friday, I saved this. That second race, Candy Cornell for Sheriffs. That's why I put that aside. I had all these. I got all this stuff for John. Sheriffs is red hot. And we're having trouble reaching him. All right, we'll save it. We'll talk Spring Lily with him. And what's the other one? Giza. You know, got to talk about the other now three. Well, she's going to turn up. John Sheriffs is like a. It's like a cicada. You don't hear from him for, you know, he stays quiet and then all of a sudden he's everywhere. That wasn't insulting, was it? A cicada, to compare John to a cicada? He lays dormant and then emerges? That's a fair, right? That's a fair assessment. I don't think that's unreasonable. All right, we'll stay with it. Well, now we're almost at the top of the hour, so I guess we'll just finish it out and wait till maybe we'll get him later in hour two. We do have Kelly Rubley, as I mentioned. We'll slip in the Gulfstream stuff too. Let's do that. And there were any number of spots that we had, you know, in addition to the conversation. Really fun, by the way. Everybody loves Shug. Shug is like. I don't know. He's like a teddy bear. He just everybody, you get Shug on, and everybody loves it. And the conversation with Todd, we talked about the stakes. But in between the stakes action on Saturday at Gulfstream, how about Darren Miller? Looks like he's got something nice and another Violence. This is a homebred Silverton Hill. And I put out the fig on Sunday morning. High Crime. It's out of a Smart Strike mare. And High Crime came down from a debut at Turfway. And, in fact, the horse that High Crime lost to at Turfway, got to find out about One Flew South, which is, that's Wesley Ward. And High Crime beaten half a dozen lengths at Turfway in November. And then Miller brings High Crime down to Gulfstream. This is kind of I won't say sneaky or, you know, I doubt that this was, you know, plotted by any stretch, but they come down making a dirt debut, you know, ran okay on the synthetic in November 30th, and then gets a chance on the main track and was tremendous. Really, if you didn't see this, 10th race from Saturday, Gulfstream, a very polished performance. And this is a horse that looks to have some upside going forward. 90 buyer in here for High Crime. So, and keep track of, we'll find out where One Flew South is going. And actually, there's even a horse that was behind the two of them that won next out called Zipto. So that looks like that November 30th, third race at Turfway, looks like it was productive, to say the least. And High Crime beat, you know, some horses that had a look to them, including the Gary and Mary West homebred for Jason Service, Brainstorm, that came up, the Tappet out of Book Review, and there was also No Rules that was being kind of watched. The Union Rags colt that comes out of Elizani. We brought that horse up with Marty. So this was a eyebrow raiser. High crime. Mark him down. I would think that. The swell? I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how aggressive Darren Miller gets with this one. And, of course, the familiar pink jacket with the black fleur-de-lis. A couple of other maiden winners from Saturday Gulfstream. Lady Kate, the Bernardini for Eddie Keneally. Anderson Stables. This was a another one that we had noted. Out of Princess Haya. And also Chad Brown with a midshipman filly, first-time starter, Connectivity, won nicely and brought from off the pace by Arad Ortiz. This was a nice performance. Midshipman out of a Chief Seattle mare. And this is for Seth Klarman, $150,000, as a Florida sale, the Gulfstream sale. Yearling, or two-year-old, I should say, last year. Connectivity. And I did not actually take a look at what kind of a number. Let's see. Connectivity, 79 buyer for this filly, going the mile on the grass, and a 70 for Lady Kate, three quarters on the dirt. So always fun to keep tabs on the maiden winners. There was also one for Safi Joseph for the there's Mike Ryan. I knew I saw Mike Ryan's name a couple of different places. There it is. Don't make fun. This was a Kitten's Joy bred by Team Ramsey. All the grandkids and nephews and nieces, it seems, and Niall Brennan and Mike Ryan. Oh, Don't Make Fun. Second time starter that debuted in December at Gulfstream, going five, comes back in a similar group and wins nicely. That was on Sunday. So there you go. You're caught up on the weekend. Gulfstream, Santa Anita, Aqueduct, and Laurel. We'll take a top of the hour break here and come back with Alex Waldrop, and we'll let Alex riff on what happened yesterday with the Department of Justice and their reinterpretation of elements of the interstate, not the Horse Racing Act, but the Wire Act and its sundry elements. And he'll explain. I also want Alex to do some timeline to help you understand the moving parts here. Back after this, Alex Waldrop for the NTRA.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get five full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF pass performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for five of today's top tracks. Visit drf.com/multi-track today.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Your barn is successful. Your program is tried and true. However, there are a few horses that aren't responding in the way you'd like. Does this sound familiar? Well, let Biomedical Research Labs help change that. Our clinically proven products will help your equine athletes become their very best. I guarantee it. This is Joseph Vellante. To learn more, contact me at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. Racelens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats Racelens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.